she just came last week.
Because she didn't come today, and then now you're not calling.
So you'll tell her. All right. The relationship to Parshiot Bamidbar, Noso and Bahalotcha will become clear soon. Let's say at the outset that in these three Parshiot, if one would go through Bamidbar, Noso, and half of Bahalotcha, one should get a feeling of anticipation, growing excitement, hitkonenut, sort of the preparations are being made in order to lead up to something extremely important. What is it that happens, for example, in Parashat Bamidbar? In Parashat Bamidbar, first thing, the census is taken. Jewish people are counted, tribe by tribe. The counting of the Jewish people takes place, the census. What happens immediately after the census? A whole parasha that deals with the way in which Jews are to be encamped in the desert. The four Degalim around the Mishkan, each tribe has its own flag. You know, the Jewish people seem to be getting organized now for something of great historic significance, tremendous importance. You get the feeling as though there is movement and preparation and all sorts of work going on in the camp. The Levim are told what their tasks are going to be. Each one knows what his job is, what he's supposed to do, at what moment, as the camp begins to journey. In Parashat Noso, we are also told of the Hanukkah Mishkan, the dedication of the Mishkan that takes place Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then each one of the Nisim, each one of the heads of the tribes brings their sacrifices. In Parshat Bahalotcha, there are a number of things that happen in Parshat Bahalotcha that begin to raise the sense of anticipation that great things are in the offing. And that is that the tribe of Levi is sanctified and set aside as the ones who are going to do all of the service in the Mishkan. Aaron and his children are the ones who are going to be in charge of the Levim. The Levim are now given their task. Then we have in Parashat Balotcha the command to Moshe to prepare trumpets, and the trumpets are used in order to call together the elders to gather the entire community, all of Israel, the signal to march, the warning siren in the event that an enemy is about to attack. The feeling that you get is a people getting ready to journey, and there in Parashat Balotcha, many people that deal with Al Pi Hashem Yisrael, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, they're going to journey through the command of God, and they are going to encamp. When they see the Onan, the cloud of glory rising, then all of the preparations begin. They get ready to move. They get ready to journey. And you can feel the sense of anticipation when in the middle of Parshat Bahalotcha, Moshe says to his father-in-law, Yitro, Nosim Anachnu, we are journeying, El HaMakom Asher Amar Hashem, to the place that God said, Otor Etein Lachem, I'm going to give that land to you. L'choy Tonu, come with us. And we will do good with you. God has said good things to the Jewish people. You can share in all of this goodness. Yitro says, no, I don't want to go. I'm going back first. I have to go back home and complete my affairs back in Midian. He's not going to go. Moshe again says, I'll not have the Rotanu, please don't forsake us, because you know what our encampment has been like in the desert. You can now be the eyes, our eyes. You are the one who will be able to advise us. Anyway, Vayisru Mehar Hashem Derech Shloshet Yamim, in the middle of Ba'alotcha, they begin the great journey. The fact is, all of Parshat Bamidbar, Naso, and half of Ba'alotcha are all to prepare the Jewish people for the great journey. And as they are ready to set out, in other words, the original plan is that from the Midbar, they're going to go straight into Eretz Yisrael. Straight into Eretz Yisrael. And that's what all of the preparation is for. They have to have their flags, they have to know where, how they're encamped, they have to know when they're going to journey, there has to be a signal, there has to be the siren, the clarion call, the trumpets. We need to know what the task of the Levium is and what the Kohanim are supposed to do and where the Oren is going to be and where each one of the camps is going to be and how they're going to journey. And then at the last minute, just as they're ready to go, Moshe turns to his father and tells Shver Tayyada, come along with us. No, Yitro has to go back. And then it says, Vayisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shloshet Yamim, and they journeyed from the mountain of God, a journey of 3 days. Mehar Hashem means that they had been this entire year, where had they been? They had been at Sinai, at Har Hashem. They arrived at Sinai. When did they arrive at Sinai? On Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Today! Jews arrived in at Midbar Sinai, then began the preparations for Torah to be given at Sinai on Shavuot. And now it's a year later. A year later. And they are on their way. They're now journeying Mehar Hashem. V'aron Brit Hashem, Noseil Ifneim, the ark of the covenant of God is journeying before them. Derech Shloshet Yamim, a journey of 3 days, latur lahem minucha, in order to find for them minucha, a resting place. Vanan Hashem aleihem yomam, and during the day the cloud of Hashem was above them, binos'am min hamachaneh, when they journeyed from the machaneh. We're going to get back in a moment, in a little while, to the next two psukim over here, in the middle of Parsha Da'alotcha. Something happens, and the great march is aborted. It stopped. They're on their way to Eretz Yisrael. Because of what begins to happen now in the second half of Parsha Ba'alotcha, the journey grinds to a halt, and they're not going to enter Eretz Yisrael for another 40 years, or to be more precise, another 39 years. The people begin to complain. There are problems within the camp. And then in Parshat Shlach, we're going to have the Meraglim. The Meraglim will ultimately seal the fate of that generation, and they're going to remain in the desert for 40 years, a total of 40 years. How many times did Jews come to Eretz Yisrael? This is a question that is asked by Rav Soloveitchik in the Sefer Al HaTshuva. How many times did Jews come to Eretz Yisrael? And he says he's not asking the question from a historic perspective, but he's asking it from a halachic perspective. That means the following. Historically, we know Jews entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua. In other words, this journey that was aborted in Ba'alotcha and came to a grinding halt in Parshat Shlach, this journey for which they were preparing themselves in Bamidbar and in Naso and in half of Ba'alotcha ends. When do they finally take up the journey again? The journey is taken up by Yehoshua 39 years later when they cross the Jordan. So Jews enter Eretz Yisrael for the first time in the days of Yehoshua. The second time Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, historically that is, Ezra and Nehemiah, when Ezra and Nehemiah returned from the Babylonian exile, and then historically for the third time, is the course of this century. Jews returning to Eretz Yisrael en masse comes in this century. B'yameinu anu in our days. But Rav Soloveitchik is dealing with a halachic question. From the point of view of halacha, how many times did Jews enter Eretz Yisrael? So there he says, according to the Rambam, Jews entered Eretz Yisrael twice. And I'm going to read a number of selections from the Rambam, and we're going to deal with one of the difficult Rambams that many people have dealt with over the years. And as a result of something that we learned in our parsha class, our shiur last week, I've come up with, I believe, a new answer on the Rambam, and it thrilled me, and I want to share that thrill with you. But before, the first thing we have to do is, what is it that the Rambam says, and what's difficult with the Rambam? We're going to give one answer that Rav Soloveitchik says in the Sefer Al-Hatshuva, a second answer that he gives that I heard from him in a shiur. Must have been 20 years ago or more, that I have not seen in writing. And the third is going to be me, what I think may be the answer. And it's all going to relate to what is being said in these parshiyot. All right. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says the following. And Ezra came back with 42,000 olim from Babel. So it says that he brought two sacrifices of Todah, two Todah sacrifices on the walls of the Yerushalayim. Now the Rambam says that in order to add to the city of Yerushalayim from a halachic point of view, you see there are many halachot that are related to the city. There are all sorts of sacrifices that can be eaten only within the confines of the city of Yerushalayim. Korban Pesach can be eaten within the city of Yerushalayim. Who determines the city of Yerushalayim? The zoning board. Petty Kollel. There has to be a halachic way in which the city of Yerushalayim is defined. Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni had to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim or within whatever is considered, from the point of view of its sanctity, whatever is considered Yerushalayim. So the halacha tells us, yes, there was a Yerushalayim, and in addition to that, there is always the possibility, according to halacha, to extend the city of Yerushalayim. There are sacrifices that have to be brought there. You need a Navi, you need a Sanhedrin, you need Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. There's a whole ceremony involved in extending the city of Yerushalayim so that it now becomes holy, and you can do within this city all of those mitzvot or eat those korbanot that have to be eaten within the city. Says the Rambam the following, Kol Mokom Shelo Nase B'Kol Eilu. Any place where this entire ceremony was not done, ukaseder hazeh, and in this order, the order that he had described earlier, ein kiddush gomur, is not holy. You know, in order to extend the city, there's a process by which you extend the city. Zesha asa Ezra shtei todot. Ezra, in Sefer Ezra, it says that he made two sacrifices of todah. So the Rambam says, the ceremony of Ezra Zikaron Husha'asa. It was something that he made as a commemoration. It wasn't the real thing. He was not performing a halachic act by which he was bringing sanctity upon the city of Jerusalem. It was a commemorative kind of tekes. V'lo b'ma'asav nitkadesh ha'makom. It was not by what he did that the place became holy. There was no king there at the time. There was no Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. And you need those in order to extend the city of Yerushalayim or in order to sanctify the city of Yerushalayim. So what made the city of Yerushalayim holy? Says the Rambam, the Kedusha Rishon or Shekidsha Shlomo, the first sanctity, when Shlomo made the city holy. Shlomo made the city holy. Shehu Kidesh et Lazara, that Yerushalayim Shlomo sanctified the courtyards of Har HaMoriah, the Har HaBayit, and Yerushalayim L'Sha'atan for his time, or the Kidshan Latid Lavo, and they became holy for all time. From the time that Yerushalayim was made holy by Shlomo, it remains holy forever. Now, the Rambam goes on to another halacha. The Rambam in three different places talks about the sanctity, the halachic sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. And there the Rambam says the following. Eretz Yisrael was sanctified two times. Once by Yehoshua when he entered the land, and a second time by Ezra and the Olei Babel, those who came up from Babel to settle the land. And the Rambam makes it very clear. Kiddush HaRishon, the first sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, which was done by Yehoshua, Kiddush HaLashata, was sanctified only for its time, below Kiddush HaLatid Lavo, and was not holy for all time. But the Kiddushat Ezra, when Ezra sanctified the land, then it became holy for its time and for all time. Which means today, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, and remember, we're talking about holiness now. Now, we're not talking about the innate holiness of the land. There's an innate holiness by nature. This is God's land, and it is holy, therefore, from the very moment of creation, from the moment that Abraham walked through this land, from the moment Klal Yisrael came in. We're talking about the sanctity of the land from a halachic point of view, so that there should be a mitzvah of trumot, u'maisrot, shmitah, v'yovel, the mitzvot, atluyot, v'aretz, those mitzvot that relate to the land. So the Rambam says the land was sanctified twice, once by Yehoshua, second by Ezra. Yehoshua sanctified the land, says the Rambam, through kibush, through conquest. And that lasted only until the Babylonians conquered Eretz Yisrael. The conquest of the Babylonians canceled the conquest of Yehoshua, and therefore the sanctity of the land, the holiness of the land that was established by Yehoshua through conquest, ended with the conquest of Eretz Yisrael by the Babylonians. But the Rambam says, Ezra, when he came back, he sanctified the land. And do you know how he sanctified the land? He did it through Chazakah. Chazakah means that Ezra came and he took hold of the land. I'll say what Ezra really did. He settled the land. He was a settler. He was a mitnachel. He sanctified the land through settlement. Now, in a moment we're going to have to see really what's the difference between the conquest of Yehoshua and the settlement of Ezra. But I want to read another Rambam meanwhile, so that will bring us directly to our question. The Rambam had said that when Shlomo sanctified the Beth HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, that sanctity remained forever. The Rambam also in three places talks about the sanctity of the land outside of Yerushalayim and the Beth HaMikdash. Sanctity of the land, twice. Twice it was sanctified, once through by Yehoshua and the other by Ezra. Now, with regard to the sanctity of the land, the Rambam says the original sanctity was removed. Yehoshua conquered the land, the Babylonians conquered it back. Finished. Over. Ezra settled the land. Now, the Rambam has to explain two things. First of all, he has to say, what's the difference between the sanctity of the land on the one hand and the sanctity of Yerushalayim and Beth HaMikdash on the other? The sanctity of Beth HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, from the moment it became holy, it remained holy forever. Why not with the land, the same thing? Says the Rambam. And he knows that the question you ask is going to be troubling everybody, and therefore the Rambam writes it in the following way. Velomo ani omer. These are the words of the Rambam. And why do I say, b'nigdash v'Yerushalayim, why do I say with regard to the Beth HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, kedusha rishona, kedusha l'shata, ulatid lavo? Why do I say that with regard to the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, the first sanctity that came in the days of Shlomo, made it holy for that time and forever and ever after? And with regard to the sanctity of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, you know what I say? With regard to the sanctity of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, with respect to Shemitah and Maisa, there I make a difference and I say that no, the first sanctity was not for all time. The first time it was made holy by Yahushua did not make it holy for all time. So he says that there's a difference between the sanctity, the holiness, the Kedusha of Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim from the holiness of the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And he says why? Lefisha Kedushat HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim, the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim is Nifnei HaShchina. It's because of the Divine Presence. Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, Temple Mount, the Rova. And when I say the Rova, I mean the works. Halakha does not differentiate between quarters. The Irakika, it all became holy. And you know why it became holy? Mipnei Ashchina, because of the Divine Presence. Ushchina eina betela. The Divine Presence never can be nullified. It's all, once God's Divine Presence is there, that's it. Shchina eina betela. The Shchina is not bottled, not removed, not cancelled out. Doesn't end. Unending, unceasing. How does the Rambam know that? The Harei Ruhamim, so he brings a pasuk from the Tochacha in Parashat Bechukotai, where it says, V'hashimoti et mikdashechem, I will make desolate your holy places. The Amru Chachamim, our rabbi, said it's a mission in the Sefer Megillah, Afal Pisha Shomim in Hain, though they are desolate, Bikidushatam Hain Ondin, they remain holy. The holiness of Yerushalayim is because of Shchina. You don't remove the Shchina from Yerushalayim. Who's going to remove the Shchina? So as Chris, your Kedushat HaMikdash Yerushalayim is because of the Divine Presence, never bottled forever. Therefore, Shlomo came, made it holy, remains holy for all time. That's with regard to the Kedusha of Mikdash for Yerushalayim. Now the Rambam continues and he says, Avol Chiyuv Ha'aretz B'Trumot U'Ma'asvot, the obligation that the land has for the Halach of Truma and Maisa and Shemitah in Yovel, in the days of Ezra, it was because of Kibush Rabim, was conquest. The Kibun Shanuk, the Chahadat, Miyadayim, since the land was taken from their hands by the king of Babel, Bokal HaKibush, the original conquest was cancelled out. The Nishkiram and Atodim, Ma'asrotu Mishvir, so there was no longer any obligation to bring through or Maisa or Shvir. The land lost its holiness when we got to those Halach. Shadei Einam in Eretz Yisrael, that's not called part of Eretz Yisrael anymore. The Kibun Shal Ezra, but then when Ezra came, the Kidsha, when Ezra came, he sanctified the land. No Kidsha, the Kibush, he didn't sanctify the land through conquest, Ela the Chazaka, Shehechazikuba, by taking hold of the land, by settling the land. Lepichal, therefore, any place that was settled by the Jews who came up from Babel is holy up until today. Because the Kedusha of Ezra remains for all time. The question, of course, that everybody wants to understand the Rambam. It seems to be irrational and illogical. Which would you say is more powerful? Conquest or settlement? Conquest! Don't give me the wrong answer. I ask for the logical answer. Don't give me, I'm not asking for a Zionist answer or a Gandhi Moledet answer. I'm asking for a rational answer. Which is more powerful? Conquest is more powerful than if those 42,000 Jews come into Eretz Yisrael and they settle. What's more powerful? A tank or a tornado? Conquest is more powerful. If the Rambam says that the conquest of Yahushua was cancelled out, so what happened with the settlement of Ezra? Along came the Romans and destroyed the fields of Eretz Yisrael, burned the buildings of Eretz Yisrael. So why why is the settlement of Ezra better than the conquest of Joshua? The conquest of Joshua was made null and void by the conquest of the Babylonians, so along came the Romans, and they uprooted, and they destroyed, and they obliterated the settlement of Ezra. Rav Soloveitchik gives two answers. As I said, I give one. Answer number one that Rav Soloveitchik gives is the following. If one studies through Sefer Yehoshua, one is going to find something very, very fascinating. For that matter, it's not only Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim. Jews entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yehoshua, crossed the Jordan split, they crossed the Jordan into Eretz Yisrael, they marched around the city of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, and then began a number of major campaigns. The first campaign, major campaign, in other words, there was the battle for Ai, there was the battle of Gibeon. There were a number of battles, and then Yahushua began the conquest of the land by waging war with the five kings of the south, the king of Hebron, and four others. He begins conquering the south, then he makes his way to the coast, conquers the land along the coast from north, from south to north, then he wages war with the five major kingdoms of the north. 7 years. 7 years was the campaign of Yahushua. And it started from south to west, north the Galil. When did they finally get to Yerushalayim? You know when they get to Yerushalayim? 400 years later. During the entire period of the Shoftim, for example, Yerushalayim was a little town called Ir HaYevusi, the land of the city of the Yevusi. Even when David HaMelech is finally anointed as king, he is for 7 years king in Hebron, until finally he comes to Yerushalayim, and one of the last things that he does is he buys a piece of land from a Yevusi by the name of Aravna, the Temple Mount. 400 years from the time the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, the days of Yeshua, until finally they made their way to Yerushalayim. When Ezra came back after the exile, the Babylonian exile, well, 500 years later, where did Ezra go to? Ezra went directly to Yerushalayim. His task was to build the walls of Yerushalayim and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And after they built the walls of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash, like the spokes coming out of the center of a wheel, Yerushalayim as the center, they started settling outside of Yerushalayim until they settled major portions of Eretz Yisrael. Which means like this. In the days of Yahushua, the conquest of Eretz Yisrael began at the periphery, Hakam HaMakir, all around. And it took 400 years until they came to the epicenter of the world, until they came to Yerushalayim and to Har HaBayit. Ezra came directly from Babel, straight to Yerushalayim. The difference is the following, and what's fascinating is that we see it in the Rambam. I told you, the Rambam says the difference between the conquest of Yahushua and the settlement of Ezra, the Rambam mentions it in three places. That the first Kedusha was bottled, the second one remained forever. Where does the Rambam finally explain it? Where does the Rambam finally explain to us, and what is the difference between the conquest of Yahushua and the settlement of Ezra? You know where he explains that? In Hilchot Bet HaBechira, the laws of the Bet HaMikdash, where he just explained to us that Yerushalayim is holy because of the Shechinah, the Divine Presence, Shechinah Eina Betela, and the Divine Presence is never bottled. Says the Rav, when Ezra came back from Golos Babel, he went directly to Yerushalayim. So you know what he did? He rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash on the walls of Yerushalayim, and then he sanctified the rest of Eretz Yisrael with the Kedusha that emanated from Yerushalayim. Yahushua could not have sanctified the land with Kedushat Yerushalayim because they didn't get to Yerushalayim till 400 years later. But Ezra came and rebuilt the city of the Beit HaMikdash. He then took the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and spread it through all of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the second sanctity of Eretz Yisrael through Ezra was done with the power of Kedushat HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim, which is because of the divine presence, which is the Bible. Therefore, the second sanctity of the land in the days of Ezra, that sanctity remains up until today. The land is holy because of that original sanctity. Because that Kedusha came mikach, it was fueled and it was powered by the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash. Yahushua's was only because of conquest. Jews conquered. Okay? You know, conquest can be made null and void by another conquest. But Kedusha cannot be made null and void. And the second Kedusha of HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, Shina, that cannot be made null and void. Second answer that the Rav said a few years later, and that brings us more into the heart of Sefer Bamidbar. How many books of Torah are there? Five. I didn't have to ask Torah and Vim Tzudin. Torah and Vim Tzudin are 24. Now, I was going to ask how many Chumashim there are, so obviously you would have answered five. I therefore asked how many books of the Torah there are, so you can say five. We're not going to like it. Okay. Now, I was just thinking, it's like asking what was the color of George Washington's white horse, right? Well, obviously, I would ask how many Chumashim there are, so obviously there are five Chumashim. So I asked how many books there are. Why did I ask how many books there are? Because there is an opinion that there are seven. Not five, seven. Why are there seven? Because Sefer Bamidbar is not one. Sefer Bamidbar is three. Why is Sefer Bamidbar three? As I was developing Bamidbar, Naso, and Baha'alotcha, and the journey begins, I took you up to the end of chapter 10 in Bamidbar, in Baalotcha. There are two psukim there. Vayehi bin Soraha Aram Vayonem Moshe Kum Ha'ashem V'yafutzo Yivecho V'yamusu M'sanecho M'yiponecho U'benucho Yoma Shub Ha'ashem Dimurot Alpe Yisrael. You will notice in your Chumash that before Vayehi bin Soraha and after Vayehi bin Soraha there's an upside down backward nun. And in the Sefer Torah, these two psukim of Vayehi bin Soraha are marked off from the before and after by two upside down nuns. The upside down nuns are like backward brackets. There are 85 letters in the parasha of Vayehi bin Soraha. According to the halacha, that's called Sefer Bifnei Atzmo, a Sefer all of its own. Which means, therefore, all of Bamidbar until Vayehi bin Soraha is one Sefer. Vayehi bin Soraha is a second Sefer. And then the rest of Bamidbar until the after Vayehi bin Soraha until the end of Bamidbar is a third Sefer. So there is an opinion that there are seven Sefer. Now, what is Vayehi bin Soraha? What is Vayehi bin Soraha? Here it is. All of the preparations had been made for the march into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe had turned to his father-in-law and said, Shver Tayyadet, come with us. Moshim Anachnu. It may very well be that those upside-down moons represent Moshim Anachnu. We are journeying. We're on our way to Eretz Yisrael. And what did it say? Yisru Mehar Hashem, they had journeyed from the mount of God, Beros Rosh Hashanah. Varon Brit Hashem, the Ark of the Covenant of God, journeying before them. Vayihidim Sarah Haran. Says Rav Soloveitchik. That has very shame. Here's another question. Yeshua entered the land. He made it holy. How did Yeshua make the land holy? How do you make the land holy? How do you make it holy? What do you do? So you can put a pilgrim. Have a tekes, but how do you make it holy? So it says, you know how you make it holy? There's an instrument by which you made it holy. The instrument was our own B'rit Hashem, the Ark of the Covenant of God. You remember at the beginning of Yeshua, chapter 3 of Yeshua, we learned it. So it says, how did Jews cross the Yarden? The Kohanim who were carrying the Aron B'rit Hashem, when their feet touched the waters of the Jordan split, and Jews crossed in dry land. Who were the last ones to cross the Yarden? And there's a very fascinating reflection saying that the Kohanim stepped back onto the east bank of the Jordan. The water started flowing again. So here you had the Aron and the Kohanim on the east bank. You had 3 million Jews on the west bank. And according to the Medrash, how did the Kohanim and the Aron cross the Yarden? They flew across. They flew across. Man's first heavier than air machine flies across the Jordan. So the answer there is so because of the Aron. And Yeshua there tells them that the Aron B'rit Hashem is going to journey before you. Don't we see that in Ba'alotcha? Vayisum Ehar Hashem, they journey from the mountain of God, dead of Shloshet Yomim. Ba'aron B'rit Hashem, those tell us them who journeyed before them? The Ark of the Covenant. Latur Lahem Menucha, to find for them a place of Menucha. The first conquest of Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, they made hakafas around Yericho 7 days, one hakafa a day. The Aron, the Kohanim, and all of Israel. On the 7th day, which was Shabbos, they made 7 hakafas. Some Eretz Mol, some Tzveitin Mol, some Zivitin Mol, and then the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Wherever they waged war, it was the Aron that journeyed before them. The instrument with which Eretz Yisrael was sanctified was the Aron. If you'll take a look in Perek Gimel of Yehoshua, twice, it says something that it does not say anyplace else in Tanakh. It says that the Aron B'rit Hashem, the Ark of the Covenant of God, Adon Kol Ha'aretz, the master of the whole earth. The only place where God is described as such in connection with the Aron, Aron B'rit Hashem Adon Kol Ha'aretz. It's the Aron HaBrit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is master of this land. He is the one who now leads the way into Eretz Yisrael and does the conquest. Now, all right, so the Rav said that it was the Aron that sanctified Eretz Yisrael. What happened with the Aron? Whatever happened with the Aron? I'm asking for a halakhic answer. I'm not asking for other kinds of answers of what happened to the lost ark. The lost ark is not that lost. So the Rambam says, listen to a Rambam. It's a fascinating Rambam. Even Haita Bakodesh HaKadashim, there was a stone on the Holy of Holies, the Ma'aravo, western part of Harabayit, Sholeo Hoya Ha'aron Munach, on there the Aron was placed. The Aron lay upon a stone. Ulefanav, and in front of the Aron was Tzinzenet Haman, that was the little jar that held some of the man, so the Jews should be able to see through all times the man. Umate Aaron, and the stick that was used by Aaron. Ubeichabana Shlomo et Habayit, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beth HaMikdash, v'yadash yisofo lecharev, and he knew that the end was that the house, that house that he built was going to be destroyed. Bonabo makom lignos bo ha'aron. He built on Har Habayit a place to hide the Aron. And listen to the description. Three words the Rambam uses to describe. Where below the mountain it is. Bimatmoniot, amukot, akalkalot. Bimatmoniot. Matmoniot means something that is hidden. Amukot, deep. Akalkalot, and crooked. Someplace deep beneath the Temple Mount, Shlomo HaMelech built a place for the Aron. He knew that eventually there would be a destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. He wanted a place for the Aron to be safe. Matmoniot amukot va'akalkalot, a hidden place, deep, deep, and very, very twisted and turning, not an easy place to find. The Yoshio HaMelech and King Yoshiyahu, a few hundred years later, in the days of Yoshio already, Egypt and Assyria were beginning to move their armies through the land. Here was the great struggle of the superpowers, and who was caught in the middle of this great struggle? Eretz Yisrael, as Eretz Yisrael usually is. Tzivo Yoshio commanded, the Gangzoba Makom Shabana Shlomo, he hid the Aron in the place that Shlomo had built. The Aron is someplace down at the bottom of the Har HaBayit, Bimatmoniot Amukot Va'akalkalot. Comes the Rav's great Chiddush, and he says the following. The sanctity of Eretz Yisrael came through the Aron. The Aron was the instrument of the Kedusha. So he says, there are two ways in which the Aron sanctifies Eretz Yisrael. One is the Aron that journeys, and the other is the Aron at rest. And there's a big difference between the two. What does Moshe say in Bahalotcha? Vayihi bin soa ha'aron, and it came to pass when the Aron began to journey, Vayomer Moshe said, Kum Hashem God, rise the fruits, or your enemies shall be dispersed. Those who hate you shall flee before you. The journeying Aron brings sanctity as long as the enemies of Israel flee. What happens if the enemies of Israel don't flee? What happens if the enemies of Israel come and conquer? Then the sanctity that comes through a journeying Aron becomes bottled, removed. But there's a second way in which the Aron sanctifies, and that is the Aron b'menucha, the Aron when it is at rest. What is the second pasuk that Moshe says? Uvenucha yomar, and when the Aron is at rest, Shuva Hashem rivavot alfei Yisrael rebeinu shel, let the tens of thousands of Jews return. And the Farshim say rivavot rivava is 10,000, rivavot is 20,000, Alfei is 2,000. There are 22,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael. There's Kedusha there. So the Rav said the following. Yahushua was the one who sanctified Eretz Yisrael through what means? Through a journeying Aron. If it is sanctified through an Aron that journeys, then it is only holy as long as Israel is victorious on the field of battle. When Israel is no longer victorious on the field of battle, along comes the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar, and the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar cancels out the conquest of Yahushua. But Ezra sanctified Eretz Yisrael, how? Through an Aron that was at rest, an Aron that is Venucha. Uvenucha Yoma, then you know what? All you need is Shuva Hashem, God, bring back Rivavot Alfei Yisrael. Then already there's going to be sanctity. And that sanctity, as long as there are Jews here, that sanctity remains. Third answer is the answer that occurred to me as I was working on this year. And there are moments at which, sort of one becomes very, very excited. I became excited. There were a number of people in my living room when I thought of this, and they thought I had gone stock raising men. I didn't go stock raising men. It was really a result of a number of things that we said last week. We learned the pasuk in the Chukotai, in the Tochacha, and I learned with you a Rashi and a Ramban. A Rashi and a Ramban. And on the basis of the pasuk, the Rashi, and the Ramban, I have another explanation of the Ramban. The pasuk in the Chukotai says, the Hashimoti Aniyat Haaretz, terrible things are said in the Tochacha. The Hashimoti Aniyat Haaretz, God says, I am going to make the land desolate. The Shomamu Aleho Oyeveichem Hayoshvim Ba. Your enemies who live in the land are going to be desolate. Rashi says, Rashi quotes from the Torah Kohanim. Rashi says, Zun midotovol Yisrael, this is a good measure for Israel. Shelo yimtzu ha'oyvim nachat ruach ba'archon. The enemy will never find it good in their land. Said to him, Shomeinu miyoshveha, the land is going to be desolate of inhabitants. The land simply will not be inhabited by anybody but the Jewish people. And if you will recall, last week I said that I no longer need any proofs of the truth of Torah, that Moshe emet, the Torah, Torah emet. All I have to do is take a look at a pasuk like this and just to imagine that Rashi didn't have a sleepless night after he wrote this pasuk. After he wrote the papers on this pasuk, how is Rashi so sure? Maybe in 100 or 200 years from now some other people would come and they would settle the land, and industrious people who would plant and would plow and would irrigate and fertilize, and the land would begin to give out its produce. Rashi didn't have a sleepless night. Rashi knew, Chazal told us on the basis of this pasuk in Torah, that the Shomam O'Allah Yevecha, your enemies are going to be desolate, the land is nothing to worry about, nobody will be able to come, nobody will be able to settle the land. The Ramban, we learned the Ramban, just a few lines, says, the Ramban says, V'chein ma'asha'amah b'kam, what it says over here, V'shomamu aleha, Yevechem, your enemies will be desolate in the land, he bestowed a Tova, this is good news! V'vachfedet v'chol ha'galuyot, this is in the middle of the Tochacha, the terrible curse that God rains down upon the Jewish people, so he says, here in the middle of it all is good news! V'vachfedet v'chol ha'galuyot, that tells us in all exile, She'ein arzenu, Mikabelet et oyevenu, our land will never receive our enemies. The gamzu rayo gedola, the hatzpachalanu, this is a promise and a guarantee. Kilotin says, as the Ramban says, you will not find in all of the world a land that had been inhabited for so many years and was fruitful. A lush, productive land that is now, in comparison, as desolate as this land is. Ki me'oz yotzanu mimena, because from the time that we went out of the land, lo kibla uma v'lashon, the land did not receive any other nation or tongue. V'chula mishtadlin lahoshiva, on all of them try to settle the land, v'ein le'el yadam, and they can't do it. I said Ramban also didn't lose any sleep. And he wasn't worried that the 300-400 years down the line, an industrious people would come here and settle the land, and oh boy, the land would respond. He knew that wouldn't happen. But now listen. I think the Rambam can be understood very clearly. The Rambam says that there's a difference between the conquest of Ezra and the settlement of Yahushua. The conquest of Yahushua and the settlement of Ezra. The conquest of Yahushua, along came the Babylonians, and they conquered the land, they took the land from us, so that was it, it was all over. The conquest of Nebuchadnezzar cancelled out the Kedusha that came as a result of the conquest of Yahushua. But Ezra settled the land, and the settling of the land by Ezra, that makes the land holy forever, even though the land was taken from us. So what was the big question? The big question is, what's the difference? Why is the settlement of Yahushua
greater, more powerful than the conquest of Yahushua.
So I say simple. What cancels conquest? You know what cancels conquest? Conquest. Another conquest cancels the result of the original conquest. What can cancel settlement? Another settlement, but there's a guarantee in Torah that nobody will ever be able to settle the land. So the settlement of Ezra remains for all time. You need kibush, mul kibush. To cancel conquest, you need conquest. So what do you need to cancel settlement in Cain? Settlement. Says Rashi, Zul me the Torah Yisrael. God promised that no people will ever find Nachas Ruach over here. The Ramban says everybody tries to settle the land and nobody can settle the land. Which means there will never be settlement that will cancel out the original settlement. So far as it's for the Kedusha of Ezra, he made the land holy by settlement, remained holy for all time.
You know now why I jumped for joy as I thought of it? I think that that's the emes of what the Ramban is saying.
And I tell you, I found it even in the words of the Ramban. What a strange term is used by the Ramban. I just read it. The Ramban says, this land that was always so lush and so fruitful, now it is it's desolate. Ki me'oz yotzanu mimeno. Because from the time that we went out of the land, lo kidlo omo v'lach, and it didn't accept any other nation or tongue. What a strange word for the Ramban to use. Ki me'oz yotzanu mimeno, from the time we went out of the land. What do you mean, went out of the land? We were thrown out of the land. We girshu otanu, hargu otanu, ratzchu otanu, hecherivu et haaretz. And the Ramban uses the word like, you know, we went out, and the last one that left Beita, you know, just remembered to turn off the lights. Yatzanu mimeno. From the time that we walked out. And Yatzanu means, of course, that Yatzanu, but, you know, just like Yatzanu, you know, we're coming back. We're coming back. Take it easy. Fascinating term that is used by Ramban. Kimi'oz Yatzanu mimeno. And you know, I believe he uses this term because from the point of halacha, our leaving the land was no more than Yatzanu. Historically, emotionally, it may have been umipnei chataenu, galinu mi'arzenu. But from the point of view of the kedushat ha'aretz and its sanctity, it's like somebody who went out of the land and placed the return. That's right, where I walked out. Not that the land was taken from me, because the land wasn't taken from me. Yatzanu mimeno, the Ramban uses. That's the term that's used by the Ramban. Yatzanu mimeno. All right. So I think I like that third. Derek, it may even be a little bit true. It may even be true. So anyway, what it all goes back to really is, you know, all of our parshiyot over here, Bamidbar, Naso, Bahalotcha, the beginning of the journey, but there are all sorts of, it's a long journey. We were talking before about Savlanot, right? It's a long journey. Moshe thought that he would make the journey. He never made the journey. In Parshat Balotcha, he begins the journey. He didn't make it. He never made it into Eretz Yisrael. And all of the people at the time didn't make it in. It was Yoshua and Kalei. And a new generation that made it into Eretz Yisrael. They were there for 952 years. And the sanctity that came as a result of Kibush didn't last. The meager settlement, and what do you think the settlement of Ezra was? What do you think the settlement was? A few bedraggled Jews came back to Eretz Yisrael. Settlement of this game. But it was settlement. Jews settled. That's where they came to the land. They settled. I tell you, there was, just in passing, there was something about remember the Rambam's description that when Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash, he knew Sofo Lichareiv. So he built a place deep beneath the surface of the Temple Mount. Just a thought that flashed through my mind. Just a thought. You know, you hear often that, listen, this is not the... this is not the state that we looked forward to for 2,000 years. What's there to be so happy about? This is what we were waiting for. This is what we were praying for. Praise the Yitzhak Hashem, you understand, when it'll be a frumer government. Yeah, you know. So, I wonder. Shlomo HaMelech, the Rambam says, Shlomo HaMelech knew that the Beit HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. Shlomo HaMelech knew that the Aron was going to be in grave danger, and therefore he prepared a place deep below the Temple Mount. And the same Shlomo HaMelech is able to make a celebration of the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash. Do you know what happened at the celebration of the Beit HaMikdash that year they ate on Yom Kippur? It's all described at the beginning of talking Zion Chet in Malachim. I don't understand what Shlomo HaMelech getting himself all excited about with a great celebration. Great celebration. Me'eshtin Yom Kippur. At the same time that the man has just had his Kablam Chafirot build something deep below the surface of the Har HaBayit in order to hide the Aron. You know what you learn from Shlomo HaMelech? The Rebbeinu gives you a gift. The Rebbeinu gives you a tremendous opportunity. You have to be full of joy with the opportunity. You have to be full of joy with the gift. You have to thank God for everything. None of your business to sit around and figure out what's going to be at the end. It's a good for Eden, yes. Great. Let's celebrate. The nation is not terribly happy with these fellows by whom God is always on trial. I tell you, if I be God, I don't know, I have a rough time. I'm always on trial. Whatever I do is not good enough yet. Not good enough. I give you Eretz Yisrael for 2,000 years, not good enough. I give you Yerushalayim et HaKadosh, not good enough. I read this past Friday. I read my two favorite newspapers. This one was my two favorite newspapers, Hamodia and Yateid. And in Hamodia and Yateid, fascinating, they had come out the same article. We thought 25 years ago when, you know, the great burst of victory, Ha Bayit Biadeinu. 25 years later, we know what headaches this brought up. The problems weren't worth it all. The problems we have now with 1.5 million Arabs. I tell you, understand that the Rebbeinu was probably this Arab Shabbos when he read the Hamodia and the Atei, the Kankavan. I give Klal Yisrael Yerushalayim, a whole world wanted Yerushalayim. I give them Yerushalayim. I give them Hebron. I give them Yehuda v'Shomron. I give them the Netzachim. I give them the salvation of 3 to 4 million Jews living in Eretz Israel, a Yishuv that was indentured. And the Brei Shachachron, 25 years later, the whole thing wasn't worth it. So what do they want? Well, what do these guys want? We should give Har HaBayit back to Nuseiba, on Ikhreis, Husseini, Hashawi, I mean, what do they want? You know, whatever the Rebbeinu does for you is not good enough. So the Rebbeinu is always on trial. I'm not going to thank you for anything on the Rebbeinu. I'm sorry. Nishkin Haul, Nishkin Todah Rabba, garnished until it's all perfect. I want it all perfect. I don't understand. Shlomo HaMelech Beruach HaKodesh knew that he was building a Beit HaMikdash that would not last. He knew that he was placing an Aron B'Kodesh HaKodashim and that Aron was in danger. He prepared the place for it, but he made a celebration to be remembered for all time. You have an Aron, you have a Beit HaMikdash, the generation gave you something. Thank him! He has to sit around over there and wait until all of a sudden you're going to decide that it's all perfect. You know what he's going to tell you then? I don't need your Yashikayach. I have my Zionist rabbis that gave me Yashikayach.
I have my chayalim that gave me a shikoyach a long, long time ago. I'm not sitting around waiting for the apeid and the hamudia to say thank you. The world goes on. And they describe all of the events of 67 Ke'ilo, this brought all the tzaros we're in right now. All the tzaros it does because Nick McKenzie subbed the veteran, right? Kind of the blood veteran. And we're still Jews and we love them, we love them. They are our brethren, though they have gone astray. Let me just, I can't conclude a share with the Hamodia and the Ate. I cannot do that. So you should have to know the following. The Vilna Goyen predicted 200 years ago. First entry into Eretz Yisrael was through the conquest of Yehoshua. The second entry into Eretz Yisrael was through the settlement of Ezra and Nehemiah. Said the Vilna Goyen, the Atchalta of the Gula, the beginning of redemption that is going to begin, is going to be the result of both. It is going to be done through the settlement of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ula Eitat Sorech, and when necessary, it is also going to be through the conquest of Yehoshua. The Vilna Goyen 200 years ago clearly foresaw precisely what was going to happen in our time. The Vilna Goyen held that the settlement of Eretz Yisrael must begin through Klal Yisrael acting. We have to take the initiative. And in the event that we take the initiative, the Rebbeinu is going to bless our efforts. The Chol HaPu'ulot Shalah, all of the work that we do for Eretz Yisrael has to be in two directions. Ezra and Nehemiah on the one hand and Yahushua on the other. 200 years ago, the Vilna Goyen sent his students to settle in Eretz Yisrael. Why did he send his students to settle here? Because he knew, he believed that all great things are going to happen as a result of Klal Yisrael taking the first step. We have to begin the process. The Yerichtem, the Yishatem, you will inherit the land and you will live in the land, said the Grub, this Kulchet, Tishu, Teshuva. If you're going to come inherit the land, then you're going to live in the land. Even more fascinating. So he says that we're going to begin the process in the manner of Ezra and Nehemiah, which is through settlement. We're going to continue the settlement that was begun by Ezra and Nehemiah. And then he says, Ule'et HaTzodeh, also when necessary, it's also going to be Bechazka. That means, what did Ezra and Nehemiah do? The Rambam said, they came and sanctified the land through Chazaka. Chazaka means taking possession, planting, plowing, building. The Vilna Goyen says, it will be the chazaka through settlement, and when necessary, it will also be the chazaka with strength. The gematria of Yehoshua equals the gematria of Ezra Nehemiah. Believe me, Yehoshua is 391, Ezra Nehemiah equals 391. The Vilna Goyen said both of them are going to be necessary in the third historic return to Eretz Yisrael. The journey that was started in Bamidbar Naso and Baha'alotcha is continuing and already at a point where what? The Kedusha Paretz. So the Kedusha Shnia of Ezra, that Kedusha remains until today. Kedusha HaMikdash Yerushalayim is because of the Shchina. And there certainly the Rambam makes it very clear, since the Kedushat HaMikdash Yerushalayim is because of Shechina, Shechina, Eina B'Teila, the Shechina never becomes bottled. That's it.